Hey everyone, welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast, where we dive into the people, stories, and iconic moments that have helped make sneakers a global phenomenon. If you've ever told someone that you like their kicks, then you're in the right place. Before we lace up this episode, here's a little teaser for you. Stick around to the end of each episode for the last shot question. It's a chance to test your sneaker knowledge and engage with our community. I've also recently started a newsletter to share my knowledge from nearly two decades of experience working in the footwear industry. You can find the link to that below or go to sneakerhistory.com/newsletter for a weekly deep dive into the biggest topics in the sneaker business. All right, now that the business is taken care of, grab your favorite pair of kicks and let's get started with the episode.
Jordan trying to shake off Starks. Oh, what a move!
Against Gill, the crowd on its feet. Allen for the win!
Welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast.
What up, what up? We're back with the Sneaker History Podcast, episode number 12. And my name's Nick Engvall, and I'm here with my guys, Mike and Robbie. Guys, go ahead and introduce yourselves.
What's going on, podcast family? It's Mike Gillery here. Hope you guys are having a good evening. What's up, Robbie?
Man, not too much, everybody. Just another beautiful Thursday evening. Ready to have some fun.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Before we get into the sneaker talk, I wanted to give a shout out to Jazzy Fresh 1102, who dropped us a 5-star review on iTunes this week. Yeah, we really appreciate the feedback. We really appreciate the reviews on iTunes. It just helps us know that we're, you know, what we're putting out there, you guys are enjoying. So if you get a chance, take 30 seconds, leave us a review. If you got 15 more seconds, tweet us, drop a comment on Instagram, and tell us that you did it so we can check it out. But yeah, we appreciate it, and we look forward to serving up some more content for you guys.
Heck yeah. We love the fun. But just let us know either way. Let us know what you're thinking about it, what's working, what could be better. This, you know, anything really helps everybody. So we appreciate your input.
Yeah, most definitely.
Yep.
I guess since I'm just like the oldest, well, shout out to Russ Bankston. I love that guy. And he's like one of the few that's like got some years on me in this whole thing. But I'm just going to jump into the news stuff and talk about this Converse All-Star Pro BB. And Mike, you had some interesting insight on it. So I'm going to let you talk a little bit about it.
Yeah. I mean, Converse, it looks like they're trying to jump back into the professional basketball league, the competitive basketball conversation with this new All-Star Pro BB. The cool part about it is not necessarily the Converse, but the fact that the person who designed it, Eric Avar, was the head of the project, who, if you guys don't know, was a lead design on most of the Kobe projects. So if you break down a shoe, it's nothing too fancy, but you will notice that you'll have a similar cushioning setup as you see something similar to the Kobe 8 with the drop-in midsole. And this one, instead of using Lunarlon, actually uses a drop-in React midsole along with similar traction, what looks like to be the Kobe 10. You guys correct me if I'm wrong, but it looks really similar to the Kobe 10 traction. I mean, I can't say that I would personally buy a pair of Converse to play on court, but I've also said I'd never buy a pair of Pumas to play on court, and I've done it and I loved it. So who knows? I mean, it looks like it could be potentially the start of something for Converse. Right now, it looks like Kelly Oubre would be the first player in the NBA wearing them, which would be next season. So I don't know. I don't know where it's going to go. What do you guys think about this so far?
Well, just now that you said that Eric was the designer on it, I can see that because he is like a real niche for using technology and kind of like he's really big into like the design part of it and like making like functional art. So I can see a lot of how this shoe plays into both like Kobe design and classic Converse at the same time. Like the curved outsole is a really nice touch, like a very modern, you know, design cue that I want to say the Kyries kind of made that a more popular modern, you know, finish on a basketball shoe for a lot of like the lateral cutting and, you know, this stutter step movement. You get to a little bit, you roll better off of your toes. But I like how it has those kind of newer elements, but at the same time, it has that big old school classic kind of branding on the side. And it's a really fun mix between new and old. Personally, not for me. Like, I would feel like I'd be on my Wilt Chamberlain tip wearing these. You know, got to have some short shorts and some high socks. But it's a little too different for me. It's going to be great for somebody. And there's a lot of people out there who just want to be different. And that's fantastic. This is going to be a great option for somebody stepping on the court and is getting a lot of like, huh? Like, what are you wearing? And then just kind of enjoying that feeling. So there's a niche market there, but I'm personally not in it. As a big shoe range purchaser, what do you think, Nick?
I mean, Chucks are one of my favorite shoes, so I'm super curious about it. I think I like it. I like kind of the I think it's tastefully done in terms of bringing the past and future together. But I have a hard time imagining that the price point will be anywhere where people are going to want to spend the money on it. You know, if it comes in at, let's say, $100, $110, like, as much as I think it looks good, I'm probably going to go with a Kyrie or a PG.
It's not going to be $100 with React in it.
But that's what and that's what I mean. Like, once you get above that, you're not like, I just don't see people paying $150 plus for Converse.
It can't be more than 120. If it gets past that 120 price point, they might as well just go ahead and stop the project. It wouldn't make sense.
Yeah. I mean, I do. Go ahead.
Has anybody else? There's some pictures of On Foot, and it's really kind of jarring because it looks like a Chuck, but it's so rounded and not. It's like.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just an evolved version, but yeah, what were you saying, Nick? It's crazy. It's right. It's really weird to see something so old, but so new at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, I think there needs to be a lot more to elevate the Converse brand in order to justify, like, bringing something like this out. Like, you would need to have some of the crazy retros, right? The KJ, the Larry Johnson, maybe even the D-Wades.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just to kind of reintroduce the brand to this new era, right? Because it's been a long time since people were paying attention to Converse in the basketball space, whether that's retro or, you know, performance. So I like it. I think it's dope, but I think it really depends on the price point. And then, you know, it's the technology wise, obviously it's tempting, right? And I would assume that it's probably one of those things, just like you said about the Puma shoes, where you never think you're really going to go for it. And then you do, and you already know that the formula is pretty well respected in the basketball space, right? So,
mm-hmm.
Well, because the basketball space itself is pretty formulaic.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
These kind of throw a wrench in the gear, so to speak. So, okay. You know, disruption's cool, but does it always translate to dividends? Like, not all the time. So, it's not all about sales, but at the end of the day, it's just America. They don't do it for it, you know? So.
Yeah. The one thing that I think is really odd about it is the fact that you're bringing in, like, Nike stuff into the Converse world. I just think that the brands need to, like, live on their own if they're going to be respected in that sense. You know, like, you don't want – there's no reason for me to buy a Converse product if I'm already buying Nike product with the same technologies or you know, potentially better technologies, because that's the premier brand within the family of companies.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Has there been a drop in React midsole yet? Because if not, it's kind of weird for them to use it first on the Converse.
Well, like, dropping in, like, that's not really the most, like, technical, like, not the most popular method of making basketball shoes anymore. Like, I haven't seen a drop in system since, what, 2013?
Yeah.
Like, a hot minute.
I bring it up, because it worked. Like, I mean, I know it's not, like, a technologically advanced way of doing it, but you look at the shoe, like, again, the guy who designed this one was the guy who designed the Kobe 8, Kobe 9, you know, Kobe 9, which is one of the most respected performance basketball shoes on court. You, every team, there's at least, you know, a handful of players wearing them. So I just wonder if this is something they're going to be, they're testing out to maybe revert back to, because you look at the React Hyperdunk, it wasn't really super well received as, you know, anything different from what things I've seen, at least. So I just wonder if this was a way of them testing something and maybe reverting back to this type of cushioning system.
No, that's a good point.
Yeah, definitely. I think that Robbie makes a good point too about the.
Oh yeah.
Avar has like a very similar aesthetic in all of what he works on, and it's one of those things where, like, if you're into that, you're going to be into it regardless of where it lands. I think that would be the theory behind the approach to, like, moving this into the Converse space. But depending on when it actually comes out, you know, who knows? You might have new stuff from Nike on the market with that, you know, revisiting that kind of technology. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, they've been sharing Nike has been sharing like a flagship tech with Jordan for years. So I'm pretty sure there's some Zoom Air Converse. I know there's some Lunar Lawn Chucks out there. So this is like a natural progression. And hey, we have this tech. You have the classic kind of persona. Let's metaphorically and physically, figuratively speaking, slide this in here for you. So,
yeah. It goes with, like, the, you know, the protro trend that we kind of talked about before, right? Like, that's essentially what they're trying to do here. So, I think it would be dope for it to, I would love to see it be successful, and I would love to see them expand on it into some of the other, you know, like, bringing back some of the other retro styles with more of a performance aspect to them. But
I wish they would have done a weapon instead of just the normal Chuck. I think a weapon would have been more resonating.
Yeah,
I feel like
that's true.
Yeah,
never happened, but always loved it.
Yeah, it was just a classic clean shoe, just like their version of Jordan 1. You know, just a very this classic silhouette, some really nice color blocking, and who knows if this is successful on any level, or at least an acceptable level for them. We may see those shoes come back, and like Nick was saying, with these different technologies and maybe quote unquote pro trying.
Yeah.
Well, like, we'd be doing everybody a disservice, like, the history, the sneaker history aspect of it, like, been, you know, really big Isaiah Thomas, Magic, Larry, Kevin McHale, and then they had like Rodman in the mid 90s, and what else since? So this is just kind of like, they're trying to maybe just rejuvenate it and hope that maybe more and more players will catch on and throw them on court, you know, wear them on court. So who knows? But like, I would love to see like a pro tro weapon, but I'd also just love to see like a really not pro tro, like a straight up old and
classic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give me that Laker colorway.
Yeah, because really the last kind of classic Converse that we had access to was the pack, right? The what was that that had the Jordan
the Jordan 2
Pro
and
leather.
Yeah.
Well, I guess they also did what was that release that they did
the the artist champion.
Yeah, artist break. Champions. That's what I said.
Yeah. Yep. Well, then, yeah, because they, yeah, that was the one. I can't remember.
But there's so many shoes in that line, too. Like, once you get through the weapon, and like you said, you get into, like, Rodman, you get into, like, the one of my favorite shoes from Converse was, like, the All-Star 2000, which was, you know, like, a ton of players wore that shoe. Yeah. And then there was, like, the, in that same area, right around, same era, right around 97, 98, there was, like, a new Dr. J shoe. And then, obviously, until up to like, D-Wade. But almost since D-Wade, you haven't really seen a whole lot. They did do, like, a Hyperfuse weapon of sorts, probably 2010. But it didn't do well at all. So you didn't even really see players actually playing in it very long either. So hopefully this shifts it, because I do think, like, you know, just talking about all this stuff, there's so much nostalgia in it that it would be cool to see the brand just get a little bit more excitement going on. But
sticking with
the old school theme, I mean, it's not really old school, I guess, technically, but Concepts is working with a brand out of France called Mephisto to bring out a Apple inspired sneaker based on, like, the old Apple shoes from the 80s, which I don't know how I feel about it, man. It's I like that they're trying to, you know, bring some elements from that shoe and that story that's out there. But it seems a little forced, and I don't know anybody that's really looking to pay $390 for an Apple knockoff Apple shoe.
Yeah, it's like, I'm already having trouble paying $200 for a pair of Jordan 4s that I really want. So I don't know, $390 for Apple shoe. Like I said earlier, I can go buy a new iPad at that point, or a new Apple Watch, something that I can actually use.
Yeah, I can't have a more of a resounding no. And I got, like, a choir behind me, like, no. Yeah, man, that's like a K-Swiss 2 for $75 looking shoe.
You know? Yeah. I remember those days.
Some Fila's, does not a good look.
Yeah. But it's gonna sell. Concepts throws their name on pretty much anything. They strike gold with the things that they collaborate with, and they're gonna be a hot item for a minute. You're gonna see people everywhere, every which way, with them on Instagram, Twitter, whatever. They're gonna be worn. I just don't see the purpose of them. I don't see the reason.
I'll do the same thing I do when I see a pair of Balenciaga, like, bulky trainers on. I'll be like,
move on.
If you ever watch John Oliver, he's always like, cool. Yeah. At the end of, like, a really, yeah, cool. So that's the exact same way I'm gonna feel.
Yeah. Like, oh,
you're super in vogue. You are hip.
I mean, I might be fantasizing or glorifying the history aspect of that Apple shoe, but I feel like you could, as well known as Concepts is, and maybe it wouldn't be Concepts, maybe somebody else does it, but I feel like there's plenty of hyped brands that could actually work with Apple to recreate that shoe. So why do it in a way that's not really real? You know, like, it's, I get that they're trying to pay, you know, respects to, homage to, however you want to call it. But I feel like it could have done. Yeah.
Maybe it just couldn't be okay from Apple to move forward with it. Maybe Apple just doesn't want to be in that space, which is surprising, because, I mean, if they wanted to do it, this is a whole nother way to, you know, to get people into the brand, which, I mean, there's already a big enough following, but why not? So maybe they think they can get the blessing from Apple to move forward, and this is what they're kind of left with doing.
Man, it's like any Apple product. Let's just overcharge for a very simple thing. And I say that with all Apple products in my house.
Yeah, I just looked at my desk. I'm like, I have nothing but Apple things in front of me.
Yeah, same here.
But it is what it is.
Yep. Something I think we're all a little more intrigued by is the dynamic yellow Jordan 1 with the, I guess, I'm not sure. It seems like unfinished stitch swooshes is the title on, what is this, Kicks on Fire. But it looks like you can just remove the yellow swoosh and it leaves like, literally leaves like the stitching underneath, which is kind of fascinating to me. What do you guys think about this one?
I think it's cool. It's a pretty traditional color block Jordan 1. I mean, white and black. Only difference you'll see is the red stitching on it. I mean, this just goes to show you, again, looking at these removable swooshes, unfinished threading on the medial and lateral side. Virgil Abloh left a lasting effect on Nike that is never going to go away, and has just opened a new door of creativity and style, because once the 10 collection came out, you can't tell me that, you know, 50% of shoes that are releasing now, you know, since, have some, even very little inspiration from each of those sneakers. And you can look at a ton of things right now, from these Jordan 1s here to the Turbo Green ones that released in over All-Star break, with the writing on, like, on the white paneling in the middle of the shoe. Just those little details can all be attributed to Virgil and his Off-White collaboration. And I think it's going to be here for a while, because people don't seem to be getting any kind of fatigue from it. So kudos to him. He left a legacy at the swoosh.
Yeah, man. It's like simplistic and deconstructed, I guess, like the two kind of hottest themes in sneakers right now. And like you just said, directly caused by Virgil. But the shoe itself, like this, taking this Jordan 1, like for face value, like let's say in a vacuum, it's too basic for me. And I like basic shoes, but I'm not on that like big oversized like black designer t-shirt with like super skinny ripped up jeans with like this type of simple shoe on. It's just, it's not my kind of steez. So I don't know, Nick, you rocking these? Are these going to be like no show socks and like shorts for you? Like,
I mean, so I have, in regards to these, like I like the idea. I like the colorway, but I also did pick up the, you know, A Star Is Born Sports Illustrated inspired ones. And I had the thought of like, I actually had the thought of pulling the swooshes off, but then a bunch of people already did it. So I'm kind of like, I'll just leave them. And the color blocking is so similar, right? Like the swoosh is the only thing that's really different. So for me, I don't need these. I'm curious to see, you know, how they actually work, what the details really are. But I think there's definitely an interesting thing about Virgil and how much influence he's had on things. But I also think it's important to point out that a lot of the ideas that you see from someone like Virgil, and this isn't a knock to him because he's been doing amazing things, but a lot of the things that you see come out in footwear or even in fashion, right, are popularized by somebody that either saw it or maybe didn't see it, but they weren't necessarily the first to do it. And as an example, you know, like John Geiger was making the misplaced checks Air Force Ones, you know, 3, 4, 5 years ago. I'm not sure how far back it goes. And, you know, I know him, like, I think he's a good dude. And I don't think there was like, I don't know that, you know, there was like drama around that shoe probably like 4 or 5 years ago, because another customizer, Big A Customs, had made a similar misplaced checked, like it wasn't titled that, but like doing multiple swooshes, right? So like, and we talked about this in, I don't know if we talked about it on this podcast, but I've talked about it with friends, you know, being in like a creative space that's very confined, like sneakers. A lot of times, like if let's say the three of us sat down in a room and started talking through ideas, and then, you know, the three of us are independently doing our own things, we would end up with very similar elements of what we create, whether that's shoes or whether that's content or stories or partnerships, collaborations. So I think it's really interesting and in my opinion, important for people to recognize, like, even when like you see somebody kind of own all of these different, nothing against Virgil. Like I said, he's really pushed Nike out of their comfort zone, in my opinion, which allows everyone else who's going to work with Nike for the next however long, the ability to step outside of that comfort zone even more and more. You know, like the fact that he was able to push, you know, all of those changes, you know, like I think we talked about on a previous episode about like the unfinished tongue, right? Like that to me came from the Fragment shoes. But then it became popular because of Virgil's shoes, and people think of that as a Virgil thing. But Virgil really was the person that solidified it as like, this can be done and I can still sell shoes. And that it's a business at the end of the day. And it comes down to the person that's able to like prove that there's, you know, value in that investment to be able to step outside the box far enough without, you know, being, you know, without missing the profits that the brands need to make this stuff. But that's off on a tangent, but I think this shoe is like an interesting progression of all of that stuff. And I hope that it continues. I hope to see like more and more of the just like openness to be doing the crazy stuff, you know, because we've seen how successful it can be from, you know, Virgil or even like the Union Ones. Like I think the Union Ones might even be more coveted, more popular amongst the sneaker community than any of the Off-White stuff, just because we've seen so much of the Off-White stuff. And I 100% believe that Virgil's efforts in pushing Nike outside of the comfort zone allowed, you know, the Union team to put that shoe together or those shoes together in a way that really like connected on a story level to all of us that have that nostalgia of all that old Jordan stuff and all the flight logos and all of those things that were just like, damn, that's super dope. I want a pair.
Yeah. And that, I mean, that's what it is. He was able to, he wasn't the first to do all these things, but he was able to stand behind them and prove that he can sell them, which is, let the designers pretty much let loose on these sneakers the way they want to. And just to circle back real quick on this pair of Dynamic Yellows, I did a quick review on them, a read up on them. And it looks like, so you cannot remove the swooshes. It is on the right shoe, the medial side has the threading for the swoosh, and then the lateral side has the yellow swoosh, and it's opposite for the left shoe.
That's interesting.
So it's, visually it's weird. Like I thought you can remove them and just have them both even. Like we can have the stitching on both sides of each shoe. I'm gonna have to take back my cosign of this one. I don't like the, you know, kind of halfway. We're gonna give you one check on one side, one on the other. It's like just let me pull them both off and revoke it. I'm sorry, but no, I think it's awesome. I mean, creativity is always gonna be a good thing. And gets us out of a rut, but hopefully it doesn't put us in a rut of being the same thing. Because I recently picked up the the Crimson Tint Jordan 1. For all intents and purposes, is a normal Jordan 1, but it took the Off-White cues when it came down to the extra laces. Because in the pack, you're provided with a set of green laces, which there is no green whatsoever on this shoe. And then the crimson tint laces with green tips. So just trying to, I don't know, just make your shoe pop more, just like the orange laces and the purple laces did on the Off-White. So even down to the laces, this inspiration is still holding pretty strong.
Yeah. Speaking of that, And I guess speaking of yellow Air Jordan 1s, just like the not for resale having print on the outsole, I mean, pardon me, midsole, just like Virgil does for his friends, like Air Virgil, whatnot. Mm-hmm. But did those not for resales ever actually release? Those yellow?
Yeah, well, weirdly, they were like, it was such a hard shoe to get. I think it came out on sneakers for literally half a second. And yeah, I like the prices on those are nuts right now.
Yeah.
They would have not touched this, you know, turbo yellow, whichever one we're talking about now, and just did like a wider dynamic yellow and did a wider drop of that not for resale or those attention Air Jordan 1s. That's like a, you know, like a Chi-Town, but yellow color blocking. Those were supposed to have like a rumored drop.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Friends and family type deal. Those were never released. But, you know, so many yellow options or yellow avenues they could have taken. Do like a new love high instead of a new love mid. You couldn't have so many things. But
what was that one from a couple months back? If they did that, the pack of three, it was like the best hand in the game pack.
Yeah.
There was a yellow pair. But was it a regional drop where we didn't, the U.S. or North America didn't get the yellow pair? Does that sound about right?
I don't remember the release that very well. I still see the red ones and the clays around all the time, moon blue. But I don't remember, I'm looking at the yellows now, but I don't remember seeing those really for purchase. So maybe, listeners, do you have that information? Can you let us know? Yeah.
Yeah, because that was definitely one of my favorites of, like, thinking about all the shoes you just mentioned and the yellow kind of tones throughout. That was definitely the best one, in my opinion. You know, without giving us, like, the new love in an OG, like, that was definitely a good option.
It's
kind of crazy, though, that you know, two questions. And I'll let you guys kind of take it in whichever direction with them. First question is, would you ever see yourself wearing two different shoes or two different, you know, like these shoes obviously have the same colors, they're the same pair, but they're totally different, right? Mm-hmm. Personally, I don't see myself wearing that outside, you know, like unless I'm an all-star and doing the T-Mac thing. The second thing is, how long is the Virgil Off-White collab stuff going to last? Because if this is all the, like, more, you know, I don't want to call it like a general release, but the more inline, the more regular released stuff has all these cues and all these elements from Virgil stuff, then why do we need both of them? You know, like, do people really buy them, or are we just like flooding the market? Is Nike just flooding the market with stuff because the Virgil stuff was hot and maybe the general consumer is going to pick it up because they see somebody wearing it? What do you guys think?
I could answer that all day. So it's like the same type of person who buys a Son of Mars, or which nothing wrong with the Son of Mars Air Jordan, but you can take elements of a coveted shoe, combine them, tweak them, do whatever you want with them, but keep it identifiable enough to where somebody walking into your Finish Line or like your Nike Town is going to see that shoe from a block, see elements of an Off-White online, and then see that variant in store and think, oh, okay, these are like these are cool, these are in style. Maybe these are the shoes I've seen online. Like, it's going to attract a lot of people who want to spend money on shoes, but maybe don't have the same kind of, you know, exorbitant, needless, crazy amounts of information in their brain about shoes.
Yeah. So
people definitely have money to burn, and it's going to take those people who buy like a Jordan that maybe any three of us would see and think, okay, those will be at the outlet in 5 months. I'll wait and see if I want them. There's people who are going to buy that shoe on a Wednesday afternoon at full price because they want them. So that's that. And as a side note, there's been many times I've worn two different shoes like a dweeb. Like, 2014, when that T-Mac All-Star game happened, my dad bought me the red pair. I went like a couple weeks later and bought the blue. And best believe I walked around middle school with two different colors. I walked around with two different colored Dada C-dubs.
Oh, man. My God. Oh, man. Way back.
But those Dadas were dope. And through East Bay, you can get like two for $100. One like chrome away, one home away. I mean, no, chrome away and chrome home colorways. I would rock one of each all the time. And then my metallic fives and the fire red fives. I'd rock those two all the time with like a mismatch. It's so stupid in retrospect, but yeah, I'm that guy. Yeah.
Well, starting off with the mismatched shoes, I think that has been my issue with these. I really like the LeBron Equality sneaker, the yes. One white one, one black one. Nothing too crazy about it. And they're actually still readily available in most sneaker stores around me. But every time I do it, I'm like, am I really going to wear one black and one white shoe? I think I'm such a creature of habit that I can't even make myself buy them, even though I like them a ton. But I feel like if I do, they're going to sit in the box, collect dust in my office, and it's not going to be worth it, the time or money. But going back to the off-white, it's going to be around for a while, I think, until the next big thing happens and it's going to shake up the sneaker design world. I mean, I still probably, like, just like you guys, we're pretty set in the sneakers that we like and the ones we're going to go buy out of our way. I mean, of course, we're going to try for the off-white, but we have the realistic expectation, like, hey, it's like winning a lottery at this point of getting them. So we're pretty set in our ways of our Jordan Retros or Air Max, you know, our Ultra Boost or whatnot, our SBs. That's what we know, that's what we love. And I think that a lot of times the core of sneaker culture, the people who love shoes as long or if not longer than us, are going to stick with those things. So just like Robbie said, you're going to have those sneakers that are like geared towards the everyday person who may not know, you know, shoes, may not know, you know, exactly, you know, the backstory of this, but they saw Virgil, they saw their favorite influencer wear them. Now this, you know, this six rings has something similar to it, or, you know, just using that as a, like a bad example, but they're going to buy it. And as long as money is being made off of it, as long as sales are going up, it's going to keep happening until, you know, who knows what'll be next, but we'll see a shift in something. And I would say maybe 24 months seems like a long time, but I think 24 months would be once we phase this out. And I actually see us going back into 90s sneaker mode in the next couple of years. But I think that's kind of my perspective on it.
Well, it's like, you always got to remember that we don't move the needle. Like, sneakerheads don't move the big, like, end of year figure sales for these companies.
No.
It's the everyday consumer. So they're going to milk that until they know the wiser. I mean, for real. They're going to keep using it until everybody knows that it's played. And that's not just Nike. That's every brand. Like,
oh, yeah. Yep. Everybody does it. I mean, not to pick on them because I love Ultra Boost, but man, there's been so many Ultra Boosts. But
I love the design. But that's a different story for another day.
Yeah. So one last quick topic before we get up out of here. I just saw that DeMar DeRozan laced up an undefeated Kobe 4 collab tonight. And
he had a mini heart attack.
Yeah, it's man, it's gorgeous.
Patent leather on the Kobe 5 or Kobe 4? What in the world? Oh, it looks so nice.
Yeah,
so they did that on a couple original ones, but not very many.
Yeah, but it's like it's basically like a teal. It's got like a teal and a little bit of orangish on the inner lining. It almost black, black swoosh. Color. Yeah, it kind of reminds me like Miami Dolphins or maybe even like San Antonio All-Star kind of themed.
Yeah.
But super dope. I mean, a little late to get into our pick of the week, but we might all be picking that same shoe if
my pick like 2 weeks ago, so I'm rusted still.
Same one.
And I got trades. If anybody has a Kobe 1 Pro Tro undefeated, I got mad trades. Now, let me see that 12. Get at me.
Yep. Yeah, pretty dope, though. So I guess, like, yeah, that said, we should pick a shoe of the week for this episode. What are you guys thinking?
Hell yeah!
You're excited. You go ahead. You go first.
No, I mean, I saw that just before Nick said it, and I'm like, the second I get a chance, I'm gonna talk about this shoe. So, you know, the color really isn't me, but I love Undefeated. I love Kobe. Love the Kobe 4 specifically. So, like, I am that niche market.
How about you, Mike?
Well, taking this one out of the equation, because good Lord, I have to try to get that one. I actually saw more pictures of this Element React 55 in a tie-dye color with the black sole and translucent blue pods on it. Man, it's just such a cool shoe for the summer. That's my pick. I mean, I'm not a big fan of that sneaker silhouette, but those colors, that combination just made it pop. And if they're sitting around, I think I might try to snag them.
Once you wear them, you'll think differently about your feelings about the Kobe 4.
Oh, no, I love the Kobe 4. No, it's the React Element I'm having issues with.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, man, trust me. If I can grab every pair of Kobe's, known to man, I would trade in my collection except for my Jordan 1.
Yeah, Kobe 4 is I'm biased because I'm an anti Kobe fan as a Kings fan, but Kobe 4 is probably one of my favorite basketball shoes of all time still. But anyway, that's beside this point. my pick this week is going to be based purely on the fact that as soon as we're finished here, I'm going to get up and get me some food. It's the Sweet Chick Vans Chicken and Waffles era. I just think it's a dope. Well, I love chicken and waffles. It's like one of my favorite foods. But the shoe is just super chill.
Yeah.
And I think I don't know. It's a unexpected collab, right? Sweet Chick. It's just cool to see them getting, you know, into like a new world of collabs and to do something like that. And, you know, summertime right around the corner. I mean, you can't go wrong with like some Vans just chilling, right? So.
Yeah. And I think Robbie said this in an earlier episode, but it's just another example on how Vans does thoughtful collaborations. It's not something they're just trying to force down your throat. They take the time and give you something worthwhile. So I'm not mad at you for this pick.
Yeah, I think too, the fact that you could get the era and the slip on and they're both $65 means I could have two pairs instead of one pair of Kobe's.
In a retro. So,
yeah.
True. Like the Vans era is like a top 10 design for me of all time. Like that's like the most summery Nick lives in LA. That's like the most perfect LA California shoe ever.
Yeah.
Ain't that the truth?
So, I guess that pretty much wraps it up. So, thank you for listening. We want to know what you think about Virgil. Is Off-White fading? Is it not going anywhere? Do you want to see more GRs inspired by Virgil stuff with riding on the midsole, mismatched swooshes, all that crazy over-exaggerated stitching, all that kind of stuff? Let us know. Tweet at us, at Sneaker History. Leave us a comment on Instagram, at Sneaker History as well. My name's Nick Engvall, and you can follow me at Nick Engvall on all platforms. But guys, why don't you go ahead and let them know how to find you?
Yeah. Guys, Mike Guillory, find me on Sneaker History all day, every day. Twitter, Instagram, find me at MadWatcher789. And guys, again, just thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for letting us in your time and your day. So, Hey, appreciate you. And let us know what shoes you guys want us to talk about. There's a million things out there. We love to hear your take on them. So let us know in the comments. Let us know on Twitter. We love to hear from you guys. Robbie, what's up, man?
Man, you can find me drinking this Henry Weinhard root beer, gourmet style, you know, soda. They're the most delicious sodas. Right, root beer. Even if you're over 21, root beer is still better than beer. But you can find me on the internet at Robbie702 on internet platforms near you. So thanks for listening, everybody. We love you.
Yes, we do.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you all for listening, and we'll catch you next time. Peace.
Peace, everybody.
Hey, what up, guys? This is Nick again. Before you take off, I just want to let you know a couple things we're working on here at Sneaker History. We're about to start a weekly newsletter to share some of the things that we find from around the web that's interesting, entertaining, newsworthy stuff. And instead of putting it all on social, maybe it's not worth posting on the blog, but we wanted it to just be on your radar. So it's kind of like a compilation of our favorite things from the week. And we'll be sending that out on Sundays just to make sure that you have the news from the previous week and maybe some news about the upcoming week in terms of releases, you know, changes in release dates, etc. You can sign up for that now at sneakerhistory.com. The second thing is that we finally launched a web store to sell some Sneaker History merchandise. So far, we've got some tees, stickers, coffee mugs, and some other goods in the works. And the money we make from this will go to pay for hosting and production of things like this podcast. You can find that on the top right menu of our website. If you do cop some merch, be sure to tag us in your social posts so we can repost. Thanks again for all your support, and we'll catch you next time.
Hey, hey, Nick here again. Before you take off, I want to thank you for listening to the Sneaker History Podcast. Be sure to hop into our Discord to answer this episode's The Last Shot question and get to know our community of sneaker enthusiasts. If you'd like more insights on the trending topics in the sneaker world, I've also recently started a newsletter to share my knowledge from nearly 2 decades of experience working in the footwear industry. You can find the link to that below or go to sneakerhistory.com/newsletter. And last but not least, tell someone you like their kicks today. You never know how far a simple compliment can take you, and we all know how good it feels to be on the receiving end of some appreciation. Thank you for all the support, and we will catch you on the next episode. Peace.